Welcome back to the Ryan That Tape podcast. I'm Jay Probst.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And we're back here with another weekend warm-up. Starting off, going over basically the big things that happened this week. And, I mean, biggest of all, I'd have to say college football is back. Biggest in the biggest way in week one with the USC Trojans versus San Jose Spartans. It was the marquee matchup, really, because you know how week one is, right? It's pretty much the unranked. Most people don't really watch it until you have a big game like USC where everyone's tuning in for Caleb Williams, obviously, and that Trojans offense, and they did not disappoint. It was close, though. Going into the second half, the Trojans only had a 7-point lead, 14-21, but then they just pulled away. And Cash, I know you're a Caleb Williams, or you've watched Caleb Williams before. What do you think about his performance? Do you think it's, I mean, do the early signs point to Heisman repeat?
I think for me they do. He makes the game look like it's going in slow motion for him. He's a playmaker. He obviously gets out of the pocket when he needs to. He can pass on the run. He put that fully on display with his 4 touchdown passes. But I think for me, watching that game, I mean, my main concern, as it has been with Lincoln Riley, is that defense. I mean, there's no good reason to be allowing 28 points to San Jose State, let alone having it be 21-14 at half. I think for me, that's inexcusable for a man who preaches having teams being solid on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if you're USC, that was the biggest issue last year, and you kind of hope that you fixed it. San Jose State didn't play bad at all. I think that the offense had some moments. I think especially in that first half, they played really competitively, and maybe that's just down to the USC defense not being good, which, if you think about it, that could be a big problem when they face some of the harder Pac-12 opponents, and for USC fans, hopefully when they make it to the college football playoffs, because if they want to go against these Texas, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, they're going to need a really good defense, because they can't rely on Caleb Williams scoring 56 points every single game, because it's just not going to happen. So they definitely need to, if this is the kind of defensive performance we're going to see every single game, then I'd be fully 100% worried.
For sure. And, you know, watching Oklahoma as much as I have, seeing all those shootouts we've been in, just been, I don't know. I mean, they were entertaining, but it's just not something you want to see, giving up 40 plus to unranked teams that have dead offenses. And it's just not going to slide for USC, who are in the Pac-12. You know, they're going to be playing some pretty decent offenses.
Yeah, for sure.
So for me, if that issue doesn't get turned around, they're not getting to the college football playoff this year, because you still have Utah in that conference who won the Pac-12 last year.
Yeah.
You got Oregon with Bo Nix. Oregon State's they're a scrappy team. You know, they might not have the best record, but they're always a competitive team to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're saying is Pac-12 is no slouch. That you're not gonna get through like you did San Jose State. There's gonna be legitimate challenges, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a solid first game, right? I mean, they played really well. I think they put on basically an offensive performance. Taj Washington as well was electric. He had a few big plays. I think he had a kickoff return for a touchdown as well. Zachariah Branch, he like I don't know, man. He looked electric. Just all, whenever he got the ball, he was like cutting through the offense. And I mean, this USC team is not ranked sixth for no reason. They're going to be super, super fun to watch. So that's why, I mean, I'll be watching them probably whenever I get the chance. They're definitely taking priority over maybe some teams that, like Michigan, that might be better, but they don't got Caleb Williams. They don't got this electric offense. So I think that kind of sets them apart. Cash, what do you think? Kind of final thoughts on this USC team's opening day?
I mean, it was a success. He put up 56 points. I'm not sure that what they expected out of San Jose State, but I didn't expect much. But it's going to get tough once in conference play starts. They start off at home against Stanford, and then right after that, at Arizona State. And then September 30th, they go to Colorado. They go to Boulder. That's going to be a test against Deion. So,
yeah,
week one takeaway, good win, but they've got need a lot of work to do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, talking about one of those Pac-12 teams, I mean, right now, live, as we're recording this Utah-Florida game, probably the biggest game of this Thursday night, and kind of the start of this week one in college football. And oh my God, Utah Utes absolutely destroying the Florida Gators 24-3, and there's still another quarter left. I mean, what can I say? Graham Mertz, yeah, Trevor Etienne, this Florida team is just not looking good at all.
Yeah, we saw it those first few, you know, preseason training camp. We saw our spring game. Florida just didn't have a quarterback. Graham Mertz wasn't playing well. Backup wasn't playing well. And I mean, man, like, it just looked bad. And
yeah,
it looks like they just weren't able to improve. So for me, I don't know where Florida goes from here. They're playing in the toughest conference in all of college football, obviously starting off with this blowout loss in Utah. It's not going to sit well, and it's not going to get much easier. I mean, they have a pretty easy matchup next week, but then they're up against number 12 Tennessee. I don't even know if they're going to come out like, with the way that Graham Mertz is looking right now, I don't know if they come out with a winning record.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their schedule, like, this is crazy. I mean, this is SEC football, right? Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, Florida State, South Carolina, Kentucky, Charlotte, for God's sake. I mean, I feel like any of these teams could beat this, I mean, heaping pile of trash that we're watching right now. I don't know. And it's not even like Utah's playing good. I feel like that's the thing. Like, Bryce Labarge has one touchdown for 160 yards. Nate Johnson had a touchdown. Brian Barnes had a touchdown. But these are running backs. And they're getting these touchdowns kind of short distance, goal line situations. And it's, you know why? Because they have two interceptions. And, I mean, they're interceptions on, like, the 5-yard line. So, I think Florida is just playing horrendous right now. And it's just probably going to be like what it's like for the rest of the season. So if you're a Gators fan, I'd say strap in or just turn off your TV at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season. You know, got to play Georgia. You're at LSU, at South Carolina, play Arkansas, FSU. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than this. And we're going to see what kind of changes are made at that quarterback position, because I don't think Graham Mertz last
for sure month. For sure. But moving on to some more beatdowns, some more pummeling, but this time in basketball. And if you already know what it is, the only basketball that's on right now, FIBA international basketball. United States Wednesday night beating Jordan 110-62. I mean, this is like the classic USA beatdown of another team that, in my opinion, has no NBA stars except for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who he's going to be back, man. He's going to be back in the NBA. He's looking nice. And I mean, let's just start there because I mean, you already know we're going to talk about the USA, but I mean, why not talk about this superstar in the making, Rondae Hollis Jefferson? Cash, give me your thoughts on this guy.
He just looked really aggressive. He didn't look afraid of his competition. You know, playing USA, obviously he's played against some of these guys in the league before, which might have been part of the reason that, you know, this game might have come a little bit easier to him as opposed to his teammates. But I think he definitely deserves another stint in the league. He looked great everywhere. Defense, his mid-range looked great. He was able to drive to the rim. And overall, just create an impact on the floor and be Jordan's main point on offense.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look back at it, he really, to be honest with you, other than his stint in Brooklyn, after that, he kind of, last season in Portland, only played 11 games. Really, in our opinion, kind of started falling off. But I mean, he took some time off from the NBA, really, he said, centered himself. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing now. We're seeing the fruits of those labors. I mean, those Kobe references are also kind of chilling, just watching him play and seeing people like this Kobe in the flesh, basically, at this point, making Kobe proud. But I think he definitely deserves a shot, another shot in the league for the performance he's putting, because, well, you can't put this much super weight into FIBA. I mean, he's playing this well, dropping 20 on a USA team that has been absolutely routing the tournament. So I feel like we got to talk about them right now. And the star of the show, Anthony Edwards, 22 points on only 19 minutes, 3 of 5 from three. I mean, this guy is a legit superstar, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite obvious. He's an all-star. He's the leader of that Timberwolves team. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he wants to have an impact on this Team USA. I think him and Tyrese Haliburton are doing a great job of that, setting the tone offensively. And I think they're going to be able to take this team places.
Yeah, for sure. I think both of those guys, Anthony Edwards leading the team in points and Haliburton leading the team in assists. One of the biggest, I mean, we can talk about Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton all day, right? I mean, they're both incredible young players. They are basically the future of this league, if you think about it. But I want to talk about Josh Hart. Man just got put in the starting lineup for this game, replacing Brandon Ingram. And he goes down and has 12 rebounds, leading the team. That's 4 more than Edwards, who had the second most. I mean, Josh Hart, breakout season in New York, anyone?
Oh, yeah. I think we definitely saw his impact defensively and obviously how good of a rebounder he is in that series against the Heat. But for me, not only is he a great rebounder, but he's just great for chemistry purposes as well. I mean, he finds his way. He finds a way to get his teammates involved, you know. He's a great leader off the court as well. So I think, you know, obviously it was a tough decision to bench Brandon Ingram. I mean, he just doesn't look like he's fitting that well into Team USA, but it sure looks like it's paying off.
Yeah, and I mean, if you kind of look at the dynamics they had before, BI is just an alpha scorer, especially on the Pelicans without Zion. He was their number one guy. And now you're putting him into the USA squad with players younger than him, and you're asking him to play second, third, fourth fiddle to Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Jaren Jackson, Mikal Bridges. And you're putting someone like Josh Hart, he doesn't care. He's going to go out and get his freaking 12 rebounds. He does not care. He's going to have 2 points on 2 of 2 from free throw, and he's still going to put in that impact. He's going to make that impact. I think him, Austin Reeves, those are the kind of players you need on this team, those glue guys. And I mean, well, do you want to talk, like, I mean, Josh Hart is amazing, but do you want to talk about Austin Reeves? Because I feel like he's the unsung hero of this team. I mean, he is like Anthony Edwards, Haliburton, and then Austin Reeves. That's why we're watching USA basketball right now. I mean, what do you have to say as a former OU, as an OU guy about your guy?
I think just, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, I knew he always could hoop, you know. He's a great scorer. He has great agility. He moves well with the ball. But I'm going to be honest. I did not see this coming from him. I mean, he's looking like one of Team USA's best players. He's really effective. Finds a way to get involved, you know, playing with these ball-dominant players, Anthony Edwards, Brandon Ingram. You know, he finds a way to still make room for himself, which it's crazy. But, I mean, at this point in his career, like, it's just we've expected nothing but the unexpected from him.
Yeah, I mean, going from second round pick to playing with LeBron and AD for sure. And I mean, he is like, I feel like certified cultural hero right now for United States.
Before we get back to the podcast, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsors at Anchor and Spotify Podcast. They make it easy for us to upload and share all of our podcasts to all the Spotify networks. To check them out, go to SpotifyPodcasters.com and sign up today.
But moving into the last unofficial weekend warm-up topic, and the big news in soccer, football, I feel like we kind of have to talk about it. Champions League draw, big deal. Some big names, big teams. And I mean, because we are in America, I feel like we kind of got to start with Group A, or no, so, yeah, start with Group F, I believe. But it is the group of death, right? I mean, you have AC Milan, PSG, Dortmund, and Newcastle. Like, how? How does that happen?
It's, I don't know, man. Like, seeing that group, it can go either way. There's no one team that you can automatically choose to qualify because it's just that close. All four teams obviously did very, very difficult environments to play in. San Siro, Signal Iduna, Parc des Princes. I mean, you name it. I think it's. I wanted to see Newcastle make the round of 16, get out of group stage. But, man, it just looks tough. It looks really tough.
If they can make it out, that would be crazy, though.
If they could get a win, that would be crazy. I mean, I'd see Newcastle Dortmund being a toss-up. Even PSG, I mean, they're not
a shaky squad. Colomoni, Dembele, and Mbappe front three?
Yeah, no, they could. I mean, I'm saying they can definitely make some noise, but, like,
I mean, yeah,
that club, like, what they've done so far in league eyes is it hasn't been too convincing.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
but I mean, aside from that, I look at Milan. They obviously have their attacking struggles, but they have Pulisic, who's been
tearing it up.
Now these first couple weeks, oh yeah, for sure. But another group I found interesting, I'm looking at is that it's got to be Group A and Group C.
Yeah, for sure.
First off, you know, take it away with Group A.
Yeah, I mean, It's obvious, right? The Bayern Man United, that's the big game. Man U, I believe, I mean, they were in Europa League last year, and I mean, now they're in Champions League, right? They earned the spot, they got third place, but I mean, can they compete with the big boys? That's the question. I think they're going to have their work cut out with them in this Group A. I mean, Bayern, obviously, you know, they're, in my opinion, they're probably going to take the league. But then, I mean, they could even lose to this Galatasaray team. I mean, they are.
That's a
good one. Yeah.
One, United haven't looked great this Premier League season at all. They've just looked shaky. Haven't had, like, any source of direction. They haven't had Rasmus Højlund so far yet.
Yeah,
but they just don't look that great now. Now look at Galatasaray. They brought in Wilfred Zaha, Hakim Ziyech, Mario Icardi's back. This team is a solid roster. They're a champion. They're a team that can compete in the Champions League. Maybe not with the big teams, but with a team like United, who just hasn't really had much Champions League success recently. It could go either way. when Man United have to travel and go play in Turkey, I could easily see Galatasaray taking that.
For game. Sure. And I mean, they could challenge for that number two spot, which, I mean, we could see that happen. They beat Copenhagen, beat Man United, get a tie with Bayern. I mean, even lose against Bayern. I mean, this could be their chance to get in, I feel like. And Man United, they keep playing like they're playing. If they play like they played in that Tottenham game, they're not going to cut it. I'm telling you that right now. They're not good enough. They need to fix something. Ten Hag needs to fix something. They need to find a freaking left back. But yeah, moving on to Group C. And I mean, it's champions of Italy, champions of not La Liga, but last year La Liga and Champions League last year. But I mean, Real Madrid, and that's going to be so fun to watch. I mean, you're looking at the squads and it's so tantalizing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expected Napoli to go rebuild, let go of Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia and Kvaratskhelia, but they kept them both, kept Di Lorenzo, and they look back to, they're looking to run it back, and they look good so far in the Serie A this season, and I think they're going to be a real testament to Real Madrid to win this group because, one, I mean, their fans are loud. They make it a pretty tough place to play in. But seeing Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia Kvaratskhelia go to the Bernabeu, that's going to be a great game. That's what I'm looking forward to. But, I mean, outside of that, I think Union Berlin, they got a solid team, but, I mean, It's going to take a lot for it not to be Napoli and Madrid going through.
For sure. I think if you look at it, it's going to be fun, those matchups. I mean, you have Osimhen, like you said, Kvaratskhelia, and then on Madrid side, Bellingham is first, in my opinion, his first season in a team that could really legitimately win Champions League. Vinny, even though he's injured a little bit, Rodrigo, these guys, young guys are in my opinion, coming into their prime. And once they get Mbappe next year, a striker, or you never know, another striker, I think they're going to be legit. And I think Napoli, this is their time, man. This is their time to go out there, win another Serie A, win a Champions League, because I feel like they were close. If they could have beaten Milan, I feel like they could have made it to the final. But yeah, I think the three groups that we've talked about, I mean, obviously the Arsenal-Sevilla rematch is going to be interesting to watch, as well as the Dortmund or Milan-Newcastle in Group F. I mean, there's some rematches in the table too. But that's all we have for you guys today. Champions League action, you already know that's going to be coming up, as well as college football. So we got all of you guys covered with all that news. But thank y'all so much for watching. Make sure to check out our social medias at rewindthattape.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're posting weekly now, as well as come back and visit us to listen to our podcast again. Wherever you listen to this one, we'll be back. Thank you guys so much for watching. Peace.